It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, it's a backyard brawl week, isn't it? City limits.
I'm excited for it.
So am I. Two teams that are... I may be in the minority here, but I've always felt that the backyard brawl is better than Pitt-Penn State.
Ooh.
Yes, better than Pitt-Penn State. More sensible of a rivalry than Pitt-Penn State, because I could walk to Morgantown if I wanted. There's a long and... hate-filled history. Hate-filled in the sporting sense, of course. Incredible games, and it's literally there in our backyard, and we're in their backyard. Did I say that right? It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. I love this. This is the better rivalry. Give me Pitt, West Virginia, if I had to choose just one. Sounds like you disagree.
I significantly disagree, partly because... we all know how many Pitt fans and Pitt alum there are in Allegheny County. Penn State has, out of any county in Pennsylvania, Allegheny County is the most populated Penn State alum.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been to both games at Acrisure Stadium, and I've been to the game at West Virginia for Pitt in West Virginia compared to Pitt-Penn State at home for Pitt. It's just more of a fiery rivalry. I agree with West Virginia and Pitt, but I feel like the West Virginia people care a lot more about Pitt than the Pitt people care about West Virginia.
Isn't that the Pitt-Penn State dynamic as well?
I think the Pitt people care a lot more about Penn State than they do about West Virginia.
Hmm. Okay.
I really do.
Well, you're probably right. They don't scream West Virginia chants during basketball games and things like that, right? But then again, I don't know. Maybe it's just being I covered West Virginia. I've covered a lot of great backyard brawl games, the single most amazing sport, second most amazing, I should say, behind the Pirates-Reds wildcard game, was 13-9. And it just makes sense, because they're right there. You can practically see it from here, right? You can see Morgantown. You can see the Coliseum. I was up all night. I took medicine for a cold, and I think it sent me into hallucinations.
Apparently so.
It was really weird. I couldn't sleep. My mind wouldn't stop racing.
Did you have any weird dreams?
Yes, a couple.
Did you have three heads?
No.
Did I have three heads?
You weren't in the dream.
No, that's good. That's comforting to know I wasn't in your dreams.
It's not really dreams so much as it is a racing mind and weird thoughts coming up. And like it's just very odd. I feel like in that state, I could solve mathematical equations that I couldn't normally. You know what I mean? Like my brain was on, I think we all have that in us, limits. I think in my dreams, I have solved mathematical equations that I couldn't do while awake.
So you feel like you were in the Matrix?
I feel, well, what does that mean? I never saw the Matrix.
Well, I haven't either, but you know, you've seen clips. Basically, you felt like you were, let's put it this way, a mathematician that felt like you were invincible against the world.
I was tapping into parts of my brain that are normally not tapped into. I believe we all have that ability. We all could solve complex, like, physics equations. Is an equation in physics?
Yes.
You can see how my waking brain is not capable of that. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Tired? Angry? Sullen? And excited about the backyard brawl.
We already have texters saying, you're right, Joe. Limits doesn't get it. He's too young. Oh, like I've never done my history before.
It's a more hate-filled rivalry. It is. There are, it's like a brotherly rivalry. It's that type of thing. It's within the family is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? They're our neighbors. It's the Hatfields and the McCoys, and now there's men walking into your room during a live radio show. Going to use an early Paul pause for this so you can talk to the technicians? Are we on the air?
Yes, we are.
All right. Do you have the technology to start us with a six-pack?
They were looking for some button that they needed to press. That everything got fixed.
I'm glad they used the beginning of the show to get that out
Me
of
Me as
way.
Well.
There we go. There's one. All right. Who's going to be the quarterback Sunday in Denver? The Steelers have had some very, very interesting experiences in Denver. Many of them not good. Just off the top of my head, maybe the most embarrassing loss in the history of the franchise to Tim. Oh, did you just press a button?
No, we're good. Why? What happened?
What is going on here? Oh, my, everything just shut down. Who was the guy that came in? Was he a masquerader?
Was he within the
company?
It was the two engineers that work here at the company that you know.
Something has gone awry. What did I just say? What did I just say?
You were talking about the quarterbacks.
Oh, the experiences in Denver.
That's correct.
Maybe the worst loss in Steeler history.
I cried after that game. I was like 11 or 10. That was like the first time that I was like visibly sobbing over a sporting event.
I mean, I would rank a few maybe worse, but man, it doesn't get much worse than that to have Tim Tebow look like Steve Young against you for a day and throw that in overtime. There have also been some very good memories in Denver. I seem to remember covering an AFC championship game there, and that was a pretty good Broncos team, where Ben had a great day, and it was off to the Bettis Super Bowl. I was there for that. So was Ron. There was the James Conner fumble that day? There was a disastrous day in Denver with that. There was the infamous Ben to Antonio Brown interception at the goal line, where Ben then came on this station and said he wished he had gone to Juju four straight times at the goal line. You remember that?
I remember.
And this one won't lack for theater either. This is going to be mighty interesting. My sense is, my educated guess is, that Russell Wilson will be cleared and will play in the game. But man, that's hardly hard and fast information there. That's basically just an educated guess. What I would do if I were Tomlin today is, if I know, say it and give that guy the work during the week. You don't want split work weeks. If you have severe doubts about Russell, then give the week to Fields, because he worked at a disadvantage last week, you know, splitting reps at best early in the week, if that's what they were doing. Give him the week. I would make that decision today. You?
Just get out in front of it.
Yeah.
I agree. I would make the decision now. But at the same time, is Russell Wilson good enough with his calf to make that dissemination is the word I was looking for today?
No, that's the wrong word, I think.
It probably is.
Yeah.
But to make that determination, there you go.
There you go. A lot of
big words mixed
Very
in
good.
There. Is he good enough? Like, is the calf holding up enough? Because he wanted to play, by all accounts, in Atlanta, but the doctors are the one that held him out. Have the doctors cleared him a couple days later? If so, you name Wilson your starter. At least I think that's what they'll do. If not, you got a little bit more of a controversy and shared reps again, and then back to the drawing board. More people are calling for Fields.
I mean, I'm convinced that Russell Wilson lobbied to play in that game the other day. He has to see his career flashing before his eyes. This kid goes out and has an unbelievable game. Same was true going into Atlanta, if that had occurred. And Russell Wilson may never take a meaningful snap again. There is that chance. If Fields were to take off, he knows that. We all know that. The Steelers are not invested in Russell Wilson in any way. Fields is the more logical choice, the obvious choice, if you're saying, well, which one did they bring here with long-term intentions? Of course, it was Fields. But I happen to believe that Wilson deserves his chance. I'm just saying, I would bet that he lobbied to play in the opener and that he'll big time be lobbying to play in this game, given the way that he was treated in Denver. Make no mistake, underneath that sort of corporate, smooth corporate image, Russell Wilson is a ferocious competitor.
He's determined to just kick their asses in Denver.
The last we saw of him, they were embarrassing him, humiliating him. with the contract situation where they were going to deny him. I don't even know how that all worked out. The bonus, I believe that was due to him, but more viscerally, it was Sean Payton yelling in his face on the sidelines, which you simply don't do to a guy of Russell Wilson's stature. You don't. You don't do that.
And they bench him for injury insurance reasons for a guy that in Jared Stidham that already is not playing in Denver.
I can't stand Sean Payton. And I hope Russell Wilson goes out there and absolutely dices them up. And by the way, year two of Sean Payton, not exactly off to a rousing start. Bo Nix, that wasn't good.
No. Interceptions, not very good completion-wise, under 50%. They lost by six, but the score doesn't seem like an indication of how Bo Nix played.
Give me another one, please. Why, thank you. Paul not here today, I might add. Aaron Rodgers, his first game with the Jets. I've got a hot take on this one. If I'm a Jets fan, I'm perfectly fine with this. I am. I saw Aaron Rodgers in the flesh in a Jets uniform throwing some good passes, looking like a guy who could get better as the season moves along. Did I want a different result? Of course. Did I want him to go out there like Peyton Manning in his first game with the Broncos, which was against the Steelers, I might add, shredding people and winning a game? Of course. It wasn't realistic, just like it wasn't realistic for Kirk Cousins to roll out of bed and dice up the Steelers. Rodgers is twice the player Cousins is. And for me, if I were a Jets fan, I saw him. I saw it. There he was, live, in the flesh, looking like a football player, making some plays, but a very, very tough ask to go against that team, as the Steelers found out early last year. That's the most talented team in the NFL, I think, unquestionably. And they wind up losing, what was the final, 32-19, I think?
Yeah.
It was a two-score game late. They failed on a fourth down. Okay, move on. I'm actually heartened by that if I'm a Jets fan. You?
Well, and they looked like a very timid offense in the first half.
Yeah.
It was just run, establish Breece Hall, get him back going, work Aaron Rodgers into the mix. This is why I think you need to play a game in the preseason. Just one test run through it. Because we're seeing a lot of these quarterbacks and a lot of these offenses come out with vanilla schemes, vanilla systems, and then the second half they try to turn it on. And in the Jets' case and in Atlanta's case, it's just nothing's clicking for you and nothing's working well enough. And against San Francisco, it's just too much to overcome. But seeing Aaron Rodgers again, he can still make the throws. He might not be the MVP level Aaron Rodgers, but still very good quarterback who can play near the top of his game.
It was his first game with that team coming off an Achilles. Let's see where that season goes. He stayed in one piece. He didn't look like a total statue back there. If I'd be upset with anything, it's that this allegedly ferocious Jets defense got shredded, and that leads to the next one. Why, thank you, City Limits. You're very kind. You're supposed to say you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Jordan Mason. Who? The latest in a line of running backs not named Christian McCaffrey, who absolutely shredded. This guy looked great. People were saying he looks like Adrian Peterson. And he's the latest in a long line of Niners running backs that nobody ever really heard of, including Matt Breida, Elijah Mitchell, Jeffrey Wilson, Raheem Mostert, all these guys who have walked in there and averaged 4 or 5 yards a carry and looked great. So what does that tell you? It tells me, and I'll relate this to Najee Harris, that if you have the right scheme and a good line in front of you, many guys can have not just success, but great success. So then you ask, well, why go out and sign Christian McCaffrey? Well, because there's a handful of guys, if that many, that you pay big money to at the running back position. He's one, Najee isn't. It's no insult to Najee. It's just a fact. And you know the Steelers are thinking, why would we lay out, you know, multi-year guaranteed money to a running back where lots of guys can do that job? They just can. It's just a fact.
Did you see that in the post-game interview that he had? They asked him, so when did you know that you were going to be the starter? And he said, about Friday. Kyle Shanahan was asked about it, completely refuted everything that Mason said. Now there's a lot of talk about, did San Francisco hide the injury to Christian McCaffrey because he was a game-time questionable decision? Mason saying he knew on Friday for a Monday night game.
Some gamesmanship.
People mad because of the betting lines and everything like that. It's a fine line these days.
Crack one limits, please, if you would. Biggest story coming out of week one. Week one is complete. Week one often lies to us. We know that. But who are we not to overreact? And so I shall. I think, and this isn't an overreaction. This is simply identifying the biggest story. The biggest story in the NFL right now is Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. And you probably saw the story yesterday that he's now accused of, as I read the story, it's the definition of rape from a date that he went on back 2020 or so, right around, you know, all the time that these other accusations were levied. And this one just came out yesterday. And if you read the report, it'll make you sick. Not saying it's true, but this is the latest allegation against him. And speaking strictly from a football sense, he's horrible. He's horrible. He's embarrassingly bad. He's the worst quarterback in the NFL, starting quarterback. Look at the numbers. Watch him play. It's horrifying. He's their third best quarterback since he got there, behind Jacoby Brissett, who was better than him 2 years ago. And Joe Flacco, you know, I heard Jason LaConfora with the morning guys, the numbers, Flacco walked in, you know, literally off a futon and started pumping in 300-yard games and really made Deshaun Watson look foolish in doing that. And if you saw the game yesterday, you just got the feeling every time he dropped back that something horrible would happen. And a lot of times it did. So Jimmy Haslam is the guy who did this. He's the guy who sold his soul for Deshaun Watson. They should have kept Baker Mayfield. They should have rallied around Baker Mayfield after the long, long, endless list, to the point where it became a joke. I think it became a t-shirt and a poster. The list of Cleveland Browns quarterbacks since they rejoined the NFL up to Baker Mayfield was just pathetic, beyond pathetic. That word doesn't begin to describe it. This dude walked in there, and while he wasn't, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Joe Montana, he won the Cleveland Browns a playoff game. You might remember it. And I said this yesterday, I'll say it again. You don't get like kicked out or fired for that. You get a statue for that. There were reasons to get rid of Baker Mayfield, but I think there were more reasons to keep him, and that would top the list. They seemed to abandon him by the end of his time there. Questions about teammates in the locker room. You know what? That was a time for Stefanski and especially Jimmy Haslam to rally around Baker. This is our guy moving forward. You know how many quarterbacks we've been through here? Do you know how many? Because I could read the list. We can start with Spurgeon Wynn. Was that his name?
Yeah, Spurgeon Wynn, Trent Dilfer, Charlie Fry.
He soon became Spurgeon Lose for all the games that he lost. Hugh Jackson, they were in a good place, man. They beat the Steelers here, and they gave Kansas City a great game that they easily could have won. So one bad year, 1 year with a little bit of trouble, they completely abandoned that. Moral of that story is Jimmy Haslam is busily wrecking that franchise, even as we speak. They're the biggest story. There's some talk of whether the Browns, you know, this horrible accusation could be the Browns' way of getting out of this contract with Deshaun Watson. But then I read other accounts. Andrew Brandt on X yesterday saying this is literally the only contract that gets paid out no matter what, like in the history of sports practically. So there seems to be some conflicting info. It certainly wouldn't be a surprise to see the Browns try to get out of it if there's any merit to this latest accusation, which might be the worst. I think it is the worst accusation among the many levied against Deshaun Watson. Just one of the sorriest, worst, most reprehensible chapters for any player on a new team in the history of sports in this country is what Deshaun Watson has been so far. Just a travesty. And so again, that falls at the feet of Jimmy Haslam, who is busily ruining the Cleveland Browns. Your take?
Did you hear what Cleveland Talk Radio had to say about it yesterday?
I heard a little bit on the PM team when somebody wanted to start off. Do you have it?
I have the clip if you want to hear it.
They started off the show with the Baker Mayfield question?
Yeah, it's just disgusting what's going on with Deshaun Watson. And what, 24 surrounding the massages from years ago. Now this, he's not worth any of the headaches for Cleveland. I think everyone would admit that. And he doesn't seem to take any accountability for any of this either. It's just kind of run and hide from it and hope it goes away. Here's what Cleveland Talk Radio sounded like.
216-474-0092. You ready to go to the phones?
Sure.
All right. Dave in Macedonia, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
There's two numbers. You'll figure them out. 42.9, 144.
What is all this?
Watson's quarterback rating, Mayfield's quarterback rating.
Oh, Christ. I can't do this for one more second. That's enough. The first call out of the box, we're going to do this. The very first call out of the box, we're going to do this. I know what his quarterback rating was. I know that he was good. Guys, I'm not doing it right out of the damn box. Can I have a little bit of time before we do this? Can I have a little bit of time? That he ain't coming home. He ain't coming back. Only to play us. That's it. He had a great day down there. Congratulations on all his success. I can't undo the trade. I can't undo it. You ready to go to another one?
He made Zeiss look tame, didn't he?
That's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima in Cleveland. And yes, he even dropped a congratulations on all your success.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty
like
good.
Like that one,
the
Horse?
The PM guys, they enjoyed that. What does he expect? Like,
seriously.
I don't get the angle there.
There should be protests and pitchforks outside of Cleveland for getting rid of Baker Mayfield after all that he did to really resurrect that franchise from an 0-16 team.
And a lot of people were probably on board with running him out, but when you really look at it, rookie year, good. 27 touchdowns, 14 picks. Second year, too many picks, still throws 22 touchdowns, doesn't go well. Year three, 26-8. 26-8. And he wins a playoff game and then battles the Chiefs, goes 11-5. At that point, he's your quarterback of the future, man. You have to rally around the guy. And then the next year went crappy. They were 6-8, 17 touchdowns, 13 picks, but he was playing through a broken rib, as I recall. Am I right about that?
Yeah, he was. He was banged up the entire season. He was playing games against the Steelers, basically hobbling on and off the field and holding his rib every time he got hit.
It almost looked at the end like they were trying to sabotage the guy. When, again, they should have been busily building a statue for him for what he did relative to what they had. And then he's gone on to places, and he had that amazing game for the Rams where he joined them that week.
Like 3 days before.
And won them a game. And then last year, 28 touchdowns and 10 picks. 28-10. Third in comeback player of the year award. He's off to a great start again. They just look absolutely ridiculous, really, for that at this point. And yeah, you're damn right. If I called Cleveland Sports Talk Radio and I were a Browns fan, I would intentionally call every day, just like our friend Tony. And then if they didn't hear what I said, I'd ask him what Tony asked me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, man. Paul sounded tame there compared to this guy.
Did I stutter?
That. Yeah. That's our friend Tony. So, yeah, that's the biggest story in the league. And, man, I don't think it's going to get better. The Browns, as I recall, I think have a break on the schedule this week. Who do they play? Help me out. No, they don't. No, they don't. They go to Jacksonville. And then they have the Giants at home. That was the game I was. They have a get-well game at home. Then they go out to Vegas, into D.C., at Philly, Cincy, Baltimore, Chargers into the bye week. This could get real, real ugly. That's 9 games before the bye. I'm going to pick them at 3-6. You?
Well, we were talking about how Murderer's Row is basically the definition of the Steelers' schedule in the back half.
Yeah.
What if Cleveland just completely falls on its face? Deshaun Watson might be benched by that point or basically run out of town?
He could be benched next week. And I hear Stefanski, you know, talking about the offensive line. Right?
Their top-tier offensive line that they've built and put a lot of money in?
They've had some injuries. I get it. They didn't play well. I get that. But somebody should remind Kevin that in the playoff game here, Baker was introducing himself to a guy named Frank in their huddle on that offensive line. Right? Do you remember
that? He was running around for his life making plays happen and being creative, channeling his inner Mahomes. Not Mahomes or Allen, but Cleveland. I mean, you were talking about Brady Quinn and Tim Couch for years. Brandon Whedon, your 28-year-old quarterback.
All right, go ahead. Name Browns quarterbacks. Let's start writing them down until we run out. Don't look at your computer.
Don't pull up that list.
I'm not pulling up the list. Let's see how many we can name. Go first, I go second. Keep on going. Up until Baker Mayfield. Go.
I don't know if I can get the correct order, but I can name
We don't want the order.
All right.
Just names.
Trent Dilfer.
Obviously, we can't get the order.
Dilfer.
Spurgeon win.
Charlie Fry.
Charlie Batch?
No. He never played for them.
I don't like the way you said that, City Limits.
Brandon Whedon.
Hold on a second. I'm using a Paul pause. Early in the game here. Yeah, I must have been thinking of Charlie Fry. Who'd you say?
I said Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon. Brady Quinn.
Brian Hoyer.
Hold on a second here. Brian Hoyer, Brady Quinn. There have been so many. Tim Couch.
I was going to say Tim Couch. Let's see. Deshaun Kizer.
Kizer.
Remember him?
Yeah, he was.
The Notre Dame guy. He sucked. He was like a second-round pick.
He was part of the 0-16 team. Oh, boy. Who were some of these stiffs that came here? Oh, there's a whole batch of them. The guy that came here for the playoff game. What was his name? Kelly Holcomb.
Kelly Holcomb. Weren't there two? Didn't Jake DeLome play for them?
Look it up.
Weren't there two DeLomes?
I think he might have. Derek Anderson. You like that one?
That's a good pull.
No, it's a great pull.
I'm sorry. I'm upstaging you just like Bob. Yesterday. Well, those glasses. How soon you are to forget.
Bob was bitter after the show about that. He felt like you called him. You called me stupid and him ugly.
Uh-huh. Because that's definitely what happened. We're not over-exaggerating at all.
He didn't think so.
No?
He thought you called him ugly in his glasses. He was hurt.
I apologize to Bob.
Have we run out? We didn't name nearly enough here.
No. There's so many.
I can't remember anymore. Go find the t-shirt and read them off so we can have a good laugh. And in the meantime, crack one, would you please? Thank you. Paul Skeens last night. Wow. I mean, is he getting better? The velocity has dipped a little bit. There's no doubt it's not quite the same as when he stepped in against the Dodgers and blew away Otani and Mookie Betts on 100-plus fastballs. But this kid just does whatever is necessary on a given night and has an arsenal that is much deeper than I think anybody could have imagined. I'm going to ask Derek Shelton about that later today when he joins the show. He won his previous start on changeups which he hadn't thrown a lot of. And then last night just dipped into anything and everything that he needed. And now you look, and in two starts this month, he has a 0.82 ERA. Last night, he was exquisite, is the word I'll use. And he also beat Cy Blanton's franchise record for a rookie of strikeouts, which was set in 1935. Yes, Ron was the beat writer. Do you think Cy Blanton ever won the Cy Young Award?
It would be very fitting.
Wouldn't it? Did you find that list?
I did.
Let's hear him.
Tim Couch.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Peterson.
Doug. Whoa!
Spurgeon Wen.
Got him. Yeah, Spurgeon lose.
Detmer. What was Detmer's first name? Do you know?
Coy. Ty.
I don't know. Who cares? There's, Kelly Holcomb.
There were more. I got Holcomb.
Jeff Garcia.
Oh, that was an easy one.
This is who it was with the two last names that I forgot. Josh McCown and Luke McCown.
Yes, the both. McCown family. And the Dilfer family.
Yes.
Or not the Dilfer, the Detmer.
The Detmers. Trent Dilfer, Charlie Fry.
The Fighting Detmers. Go ahead.
Anderson, Brady Quinn, Dorsey.
Ken Dorsey.
Ken Dorsey. Bruce Gronkowski.
Oh, Brucey.
How could we forget Colt McCoy?
Colt McCoy!
The former first-round pick.
He ended up having a good career and made a lot of money.
Didn't he almost win a Heisman at Oklahoma?
Texas. He was great.
Or Texas, yeah.
Yeah.
Jake DeLome.
Mm-hmm.
Seneca Wallace.
Oh, he's a classic.
Brandon Whedon, my favorite.
The 86-year-old rookie.
Thad Lewis.
He retired with Ron after his rookie season. They're both in Fort Myers. Thad Lewis.
Thad Lewis.
That's a great one.
Jason Campbell.
Oh, my God.
Brian Hoyer.
Yes.
How could we possibly forget this guy? Johnny Football. Johnny Manziel.
That's embarrassing.
It really is. Because I don't even think of him for his NFL career, just A&M.
Do you know Johnny Football had probably his best pro game here that day? It wasn't good, mind you, but it was better than any other one he had.
There's not one single game that stands out in my mind that he performed well in the NFL. Not
Who else?
One. Like, Tebow had multiple moments, but none for Manziel. Brian Shaw. What was Shaw's? Not Brian Shaw. I'm thinking of the
Brian
coach
Shaw
at Stanford.
Was, yeah, he played for the Celtics. Dennis Shaw was a quarterback for the Bills. I don't know.
The other McCown... Archie 3.
Oh, my
Cody
God.
Cody Kessler.
Cody Kessler.
Deshaun Kizer. Another Davis. Hogan. Tyrod Taylor.
Who's Hogan? Hogan who?
I'm just looking at all the last
Tyrod
names.
Tyrod Taylor. Chris
then,
Hogan. Ben Hogan.
Then
I don't know
Baker Mayfield. And then Deshaun Watson. There's this great T-shirt of all the last names, and they're all crossed out in orange on a brown T-shirt.
It's so great.
This is like a different style T-shirt than the jersey.
And somehow, here's the moral of that whole story. Somehow, if you add up every name on that list and compare it to what they have now, now is worse. Now is more humiliating than simply watching this guy play and considering his history. Compared to all of that,
yes,
this is worse.
Because he's not just bad on the field. He's bad off the field. The optics are terrible.
This
what you had
worse.
To give up. This is the worst trade in NFL history. Is this worse than the big New Orleans trade, giving up all the draft picks?
Give me Jake DeLome. Give me Thad Lewis. Give me Johnny Football. Well, no, don't give me
don't
Johnny
give me
Football.
Johnny Football.
Yeah, don't give me him. Let me make sure
give
I was
me
right
Baker.
About that.
Give me RG3
course,
rookie year.
Of course. His highest rating, Johnny Football, in any game was 133 against Tennessee. He was 8 of 15 for 2 touchdowns and no picks. Against the Steelers, he was 33 of 45 that day for 372 yards and a touchdown.
Wow.
It was his best day as a pro. Not, he wasn't even that good.
Not listed on the T-shirt, Joe Flacco and Dorian Thompson-Robinson who
oh,
beat the Steelers.
Yes, he did.
That's got to be one of the worst losses in the last 5 years.
That's why they fired Matt Canada right after the game.
And then they followed it up with one of the worst losses in years to New England and followed it up with one of the worst losses in years to the Cardinals of Arizona.
Oh, what a great job they did last season. Getting
and they
to
still
the
went over 500.
Yes. So let's get back to the six-pack next, shall we?
That was very enjoyable. And then we have Shelty.
Yes, we do. I want to get back to Skeens. I want to get to some of the Heather-like fallout and then some NFL and Steelers issues. Derek Shelton Show, top of the hour. Mike Tomlin news conference at high noon. It's a coach's day, I guess you could say. Limitless wonder. We just went through all the Cleveland Browns quarterbacks, which was very exciting. We're in the midst of a six-pack. Please crack another one, if you would. Back to Paul Skeens. This guy, maybe the greatest young pitcher I've ever seen. Bob Walk said that on the show Friday. He said the other one. Let me not misquote Bob. I think he said Dwight Gooden, but he said Skeens is right there with him. Is that what you remember?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Same here. And his ability to dig deep into his bag, so to speak, is the thing that just shocks me at his age. It's unbelievable. From what I remember about Gooden, I think it was fastball and then that big curveball, right?
Right.
Not just any fastball either, but it was basically he would attack you with two pitches. This guy is digging in for splinkers and changeups, and he's a pitcher. He's like a veteran pitcher who just dices you up already.
Well, and how quickly he developed the splinker, which has basically been a year, and the fact that it has turned into his best pitch when he can throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball right by you. The splinker is, I think, his best pitch when it's on, and we've seen at times it hasn't. But last night, it was effective. It was working. That thing drops off like a changeup, except it's 95, 96. You think you're getting a fastball, and this thing completely dies on you. It might be a top five pitch in all of baseball.
And you could even say it's what's it called? Insplinculant. You like that, Horse? Give me another one. No reaction from Horse on that. Thank you. That was a very subtle opening of that can. The Heather-like fallout today. Some people wondering about the timing of this. Was it harsh, the timing of it, with this being Hall of Fame induction week, with this being backyard brawl week, with people knowing that yesterday was likely going to be the day, no pun intended, that the Pitt volleyball team ascended to number one in the country for the first time ever, plus you had the football team coming off a historic comeback win.
Right.
So did that make it harsh to get rid of Heather Like in a week like that? Not really for me, no. In fact, I think it would have been worse. Listen, if you're Joan Gable, who I've determined is not related to Clark because I believe their names are spelled differently, and I know you were curious about that. If Joan Gable, the relatively new chancellor, determined without any hesitation, beyond reasonable doubt, this is it, we're done here, I've had a year to evaluate. It doesn't matter what day or when. Once you make that evaluation, every day that you keep the person on the job after that is a day wasted for your new vision for the university. So I have no problem with the timing. And in fact, I think it would have been worse to put Heather out there and maybe even cruel to put Heather out there as, you know, the face of the Hall of Fame induction.
Right.
And at the backyard brawl, and then next week say, thank you, goodbye. I think it would have been worse.
I think the timing is harsh because of some of the things that she was able to help accomplish for Pitt. She's done very well as an athletic director, the NIL stuff aside. A little harsh, but...
When you say very well, how do you define that? Like, what's your definition of an athletic director doing their job?
I think the emergence of the volleyball program... The problem is, it's football and basketball, and if nothing else... If everything else fails, whatever. If football and basketball succeed to a high level, that's
are
the main.
Are they succeeding
that's
to a high
money.
Level?
They're not.
Well, then how is she doing a good job?
Well, what I was getting at is I think sticking with Jeff Capel when everybody was publicly pleading for him to be fired.
Yeah, I hear that.
Was a good decision. The football team, Narduzzi, you could point to the 21 ACC championship. Since then, nothing has to be significantly improved. But the other programs have been built up. I don't know. I feel like this has probably been brewing for a little bit, and maybe Heather Legg saw the writing on the wall interviewing for the Northwestern job and some of these other jobs.
Yeah, clearly it's no secret that her and Joan Gable didn't become the best of friends over the last year. And clearly, I think that the new chancellor saw that Heather had overextended herself on the Victory Heights project.
There was just $300 million dumped into that, and they don't have the money.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. And people, I think, look at that like, couldn't you have done something more fiscally responsible? I mean, Steve Peterson built the Peterson Event Center no relation, on a Big East budget, right? He built it on a Big East budget. So for your so-called Olympic sports, you know, I think something a little more realistic and financially responsible was in order here. And I'm guessing that Joan Gable agrees. And then the other thing is, if you're constantly looking to move up, move up, move up, move up, then you're going to have to move out. I don't see how you could be surprised when someone says, listen, if it seems, call me crazy, but the fact that you're interviewing for a job every time I turn around seems to indicate that you want to leave. So how about I do that for you? Yeah, I mean, I can't help but look at it that way.
Can't help her cause.
Can't help but look at it. And finally, someone pointed out to me today that Patrick Gallagher, who is a big Heather-like backer, had the opportunity to extend her before he stepped down, much the way Mark Nordenberg gave Steve Peterson a golden parachute-type contract. Remember that?
Yeah.
Right as Nordenberg was stepping down, he said to Steve Peterson, basically gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award contract. Here you go. Well, Gallagher had that chance with Heather Like, could have easily said, I'm on my way out, here's your extension. He didn't do that, which is quite instructive because he was a big backer of hers. And certainly things just went south when Joan Gable came aboard. So time to look for a new athletic director. Might it be Pat Bostic?
Might it be Doran Dickerson?
Might it be Lewis? Is Doran Dickerson up for the job?
Probably not. He put his hat in for the position.
He did?
Yeah.
Today on the air?
On Twitter yesterday. It was more so playful.
Oh. Well, Pat Bostic is a real candidate.
Yes.
He's a guy who's already done a lot of good things raising money. Lewis Riddick is apparently a candidate. And, you know, they're going to do a nationwide search here. So the key to it, again, if you talk to people over there, is the new world of NIL and how Pitt and Heather, like a lot of people believe over there, did not embrace that in a way it should have been embraced. Like it or not, that's the way of the road here, the way of the world in college athletics. You don't have to love it, but you got to embrace it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.